God, we've heard your holy word and we ask you to speak through your word. Speak with the power of your spirit. Speak to our hearts, our minds. Use me, Lord. Amen. Whenever I think about Joseph, I think about dreams. And I'm a little bit of a dreamer. My wife can tell you that. But I appreciate how Joseph dreamed. And there's some cautions we have to do with dreams, but there's some power that God uses in it. Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr. was a doctor, and ether was coming in. This is a long time ago. Ether was coming in, which they put you under for anesthesiology. It's whatever. So he would understand what his patients went through. He had a dose administered to himself. And he suddenly was in a trance-like state. And he realized that he had grasped the key to all the mysteries of the universe. But when he woke up, he couldn't remember what he grasped. Just couldn't remember. So for the good of the universe and wisdom, he had the ether administered, but he had a stenographer there to take notes of exactly what he said. So they put him under again, and the thought came back. And only this time, under the ether, he said it aloud, and it was transcribed. When he was finally feeling normal again, he called in the secretary, and he said, "Read me this great wisdom." And the great wisdom is the entire universe is permeated with the strong odor of turpentine. Vision is insufficient unless it comes from above and it flows out of us. We always need to realize that the power of vision and of a dream comes from the giver of the dream, which is God. We're going to look at that a bunch today and see it. There was a mom and dad, they were out, they came home. They told their little boy, Jimmy, go up to bed right away. Now, usually Jimmy would fight them, but Jimmy just scooted right upstairs, and the mom was shocked. She wondered if she had the right kid. And after a time, she went up there, but instead of being in bed, he was by the window, looking at how bright the stars were and the moon and everything with a sense of wonder. And the mom said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm looking at the moon, Mommy." And the mother with the sense of vision said, "Well, it's time to go to bed." And little Jimmy said, "Mommy, you know, one day I'm going to walk on the moon." In fact, he told a whole bunch of people as he, throughout his life, he was going to walk on the moon. As he grew up, he had a near-fatal motorcycle crash, which broke most of the bones in his body. But he knew somehow he would walk on the moon. Jimmy was James Irwin. James Irwin was the first person to quote from the Bible while on the moon. He quoted or read Psalm 121:1, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence my help comes." Later he recalled, "The earth was very small. It was the size of a marble. I thought, if the earth is that small, how small am I? Just a speck in the universe, but yet significant enough that God would love me and create me and love me enough to touch my life." I felt privileged, like an angel, to get God's view of the earth. After he retired from the astronaut program, he founded an organization called Highest Flight, and it's a High Flight Foundation. It's a really neat group, and they passed Bibles, and they quoted a poem or a prayer that was written, and I've read it to you before, and I might as well warn you, I'm going to read it to you again, not just today, but in days ahead, because I just love this thing. It's from a pilot who died, John Gillespie McGee Jr. "Oh, I have slipped the surly bonds of earth and danced the skies on laughter's silvered wings. Sudward I've climbed and joined the tumbling mirth of sun-split clouds and done 100 things. You have not dreamed of, wheeled and soared and swung high in the sunlit silence, hovering there. I've chased the shouting wind along and flung my eager craft through the footless halls of air. Up, up the long delirious burning blue, I've topped the windswept heights with easy grace, where never lark or even eagle flew. And while with silent lifting mind I've trod the high untrespassed sanctity of space, I put out my hand and touched the face of God." When God empowers a dream, this begins to happen, and it's life transforming. As we look at Joseph, we see he is one of the people that God gives a dream. We see it'll take time. We know it took 15 years when David was called to be a king before he would be a king. If we look more recently, Martin Luther King had a vision for equal rights in the voting bill and a host of things. And it took him 10 years before it happened. And so it involves not just a dreaming, but seeking the God of the dream, to have the strength, to have the courage, to have the fortitude to go for it. In Joseph, we read 4 different places in Scripture. Joseph dreamed a dream. And then a little later it says, "and yet dreamed another dream." And it speaks of they dreamed a dream. "And it came to pass for 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed." Joseph shared a dream, 2 dreams, with his brother and with his father. He didn't do it wisely, because he didn't take into account the fact that they would view his dream just from their own perspective. They would not see God in the dream. But because Joseph believed God was in the dream, he shared it. Now, what was the response? They threw him in a cistern or well. And they hated him. By the way, that's not unique. As David was King David, future King David, He hid in a well or cistern. When Jeremiah proclaimed the vision that God had for the people, they threw him in a well. In fact, it says they lowered Jeremiah by ropes into the cistern. It had no water in it, only mud. And Jeremiah sank deep down into the mud. The dream sometimes gets us posted or placed in the mud of circumstances and the struggle. Paul, in his great wisdom, began to realize this, that he had a dream to lead God's people in the Sanhedrin. And then Jesus came. And then he was part of Stephen's martyrdom. And then he saw the Christ. And then he realized how he had gone astray, but God drew him back. And from that point on, Paul says, if I must boast, I will boast of things that show my weakness. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, as we seek the dream and life enters into that dream and the failures and the struggles and the wrong turns or the people that fail us or hurt us, we have the opportunity to experience the sufficiency of grace. It is almost more applied. Actually, what it is more welcomed if we are wise enough for God to empower through our failures the dream that he has given us. Well, Joseph, he prays, get me out of this cistern. God answers his prayer. His brothers pull him out and sell him into slavery. Not the answer he wanted. He prays, get me out of slavery. And he's bought as a servant, a steward over one of the high leaders in Egypt. And he's put over all things, and the guy's blessed. And then the guy's wife makes a real pass at him, seeks to seduce him, does anything she can to entice him. When he remains faithful, not just to the fellow he's working to, but he remains faithful to the God of the dream giver, he is rewarded. He's thrown into prison. He is falsely accused. You know, there's few things that frustrate people or hurt us more. When someone lies about us and people believe it. But Joseph knows that the dream giver is still working. There was a grandfather named Sanchez, and one day he and his daughter and grandson found a robin's egg in the backyard. Did you ever find something like that? And they created a nest, and they put the egg under a lamp in their house, and they were waiting for the egg to hatch. His grandson put a sign by it, and the sign said, "Shh, I'm happening." We can't always say that. We can't always communicate that. But the God who is working out the dream is making us, is preparing us for it to happen. In the well, in the slavery, in the betrayal, in the prison. And finally, in the prison, he comes upon two people who want a dream interpreted. For the first fellow, he says, "I'll do it, but just remember me." Fellow says, "Sure," he interprets the dream, it's good news. The guy gets released, it was the king's cupbearer. Then there was, I think it was a baker, and he offered the dream, and he interpreted it, and it was bad news and whatnot. But as soon as the cup holder of the king was free, the first thing he did was forget about Joseph. Have you known the pain of broken promises? Have you known the pain of broken promises? Or perhaps you've done something really nice for someone else, and when the opportunity comes back, they don't do it for you, and you feel abandoned. Have you ever been in a place where you feel overlooked, forgotten, ignored? Finally, Pharaoh has a dream. And the cup holder tells Pharaoh about it, and they come to Joseph. Now, by the way, have you noticed that the result of his dream was not quite what he was hoping for? When he shared the dream about his brothers and fathers and people in the earth falling down before him, let's review again. They hated him first. They threw him in a cistern second. They sold him into slavery third. And when he shared the dream in the prison, they just forgot about him and took him for granted. Now, do you think just possibly that that might discourage you? And so he goes to Pharaoh. He tells Pharaoh wants the dream interpreted, and he says, "Pharaoh, I had a dream," and Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Now, this is the strength, the providence, the sovereignty of the God that he follows. That Joseph is wise enough to say to Pharaoh, "I can't do it. But God will give Pharaoh the answer or the interpretation of the dream that he desires." He realizes he cannot interpret the dream, but he knows that God can and God will empower. And so, of course, he's put high over Egypt. He's pretty powerful, famous, and all of that stuff. And then his brothers come. They don't recognize him. That's always nice. I remember I went to a reunion at my very first church, and I gave a greeting to this woman, and I called her by her mother's name. Now, 30 years had passed, but she did not receive it warmly. So he's not recognized. He's afraid to trust his brothers. They sort of bow down to him. So he sort of has the fulfillment of the dream, but not the meaning and the power of the dream. Do you see? Eventually, the younger brother and the father come, and they bow down to him. And his father says to Joseph, by the way, the father had a dream in all of this. I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children also. Would that have been really cool for a grandfather? The son he so loved returned, and he gets to see the grandchildren. Then comes the death of the father, and actually the fulfillment of the full dream. As the brothers fall down at his feet, they lie to him and say, "The dad said, you better be nice to us." Joseph, if he's dealing with the high level of people he's dealing with, he knows his brothers are lying. But he says to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." He sees the sovereignty of the dream giver, and with that, the grace of the dream giver to fulfill the vision with grace. Now, before we close, I just wanted Jane to just share a song. It's from a musical, Les Miserables. I read the novel years ago. It's about someone who had a dream and lost it. Would you just share that, and then I'll have very brief remarks. Listen carefully, though.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by, when hope was high and life worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. Then I was young and unafraid, when dreams were made and used and wasted. There was no ransom to be paid, no song unsung, no wine untasted. But the tigers come at night with their voices soft as thunder, as they tear your hopes apart, as they tear your dreams to shame. And still I dreamed he'd come to me, that we would live the years together. But there are dreams that cannot be, and there are storms we cannot weather. I had a dream my life would be so different from this life I'm living, so different now from what it seemed. Now life has killed the dream I dreamed.
in this world.